Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this fifth day of January 2021. And I'm thrilled to have back as a returning guest, Jay Siegert, who always proves to be a very fascinating guest. He holds degrees in both physics and engineering technology from the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater and John Brown University, respectively. He is an international speaker and author, keynote speaker, and managing director for the Starting Point Project, ambassador and board of directors member for Logos Research Associates, and is a representative speaker for Ratio Christi. And today we are addressing why many youths abandon the Christian faith and how should the church respond. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Jay Siegert.
Thanks, Chris. It's always great to be on the program. I'm really looking forward to this one in particular because it should be practical to every listener.
And I'm going to give our email address right away for our listeners that might have questions, especially perhaps the parents of youths that have abandoned the faith, or perhaps there is a teenager or older person who might still be considered a youth who has abandoned the faith or is considering abandoning the faith, and they'd like to send in a question of their own as well. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter, and I could readily understand if a parent has a child who has abandoned the faith, or if you are that very person who has abandoned the faith or is considering it, we would understand that you would want to remain anonymous. But other than that, if it's a general question, please give us your first name, at least city and state of residence and country of residence. Well, Jay, why don't you tell us again about the Starting Point Project?
Sure. Starting Point Project is a ministry that I founded roughly 14, 15 years ago. And it deals with our starting point. Everyone starts somewhere with their belief system. It's impossible not to start somewhere. And Christians, we start with the belief that God exists and that the Bible is the Word of God. And then we use that foundation, that starting point, that worldview, to then interpret and define everything else, including what even science is, ethics, morality, philosophy, history, all those things get defined by our starting point, where someone else would have a different starting point, and you could ask them what they've chosen for theirs, and they usually tell people that most people don't realize they even have a starting point, but if they think it through, they'll come up with something, and then you can ask them, what made you choose that, and why are you confident that that particular starting point, those beginning assumptions, will accurately be able to define everything else around you. And it really leads into some great discussions without having to be combative. You just get people to realize that their beginning assumptions will color everything else that they look at. So it's most of the time, it's really not debating the minutiae and all the details and the facts. It's evaluating the lenses that we're using to interpret those facts, because, again, facts don't interpret themselves. We always have to interpret them by what we already believe. So our starting point project is all about discussing the Christian worldview, our starting beliefs that God exists, the Bible is His Word, and then we discuss the challenges that come along to Christianity with, you know, starting with the creation account. You know, it seems like a far-fetched story, but when you really look at science, it backs up what Genesis has been telling us all along. You can trust the Bible from cover to cover, including the creation account. So I basically travel around the country and around the world giving talks supportive of the Christian worldview and train people, including youth, who are evidences for their Christian worldview, and along the way help them to not walk away from their faith, and help parents as well so that they can be stronger in their beliefs and know how to mentor their own children and grandchildren.
Well, if anybody wants more information on the Starting Point Project, you can go to thestartingpointproject.com, thestartingpointproject.com, and hopefully we'll remember to repeat that later on in the program. Well, this is a pretty startling information, Jay, that there's an alarmingly high percentage of youth who are walking away from their faith today. And the exact figure may not be important, but varying studies show different percentages and use different criteria, but it's probably in the ballpark of two-thirds or higher. Obviously, no percentage is acceptable at all, but what are your thoughts on this?
Well, it's something that at first is hard to believe. Most Christians think, well, no, that can't be true. But the studies have verified that over and over there's a high percentage, whether it's two-thirds or 70% or, you know, 75%, 80%, it's certainly over 50%. And it's shocking, even though most people aren't thinking of it that way so much, because you think most Christians are pretty stable, they're doing fine. I mean, why would they walk away? Sure, once in a while someone might get challenged in their faith and they think some other view is correct, and so they kind of wander off that way for a while. But it's such a huge percentage, and one of the factors that happens is it somewhat goes unnoticed from the big picture. I'm just thinking this off the top of my head. Very often when you get together with other Christians, each Christian couple wants to portray they're doing fine. So you give the impression you're doing fine, other people get the impression they're doing fine, when in reality, most of those individual couples are struggling, having some issues, or they really went through some serious times in their lives, but they haven't necessarily shared that. So you, as an individual couple, get the impression everyone else is fine, so we don't want them to know that we're the only ones struggling. So you just go on week after week, month after month, year after year in church, wanting to portray that, you know, appearance that you're doing just fine, when in reality, most are probably struggling with something, and we'd be better off being more transparent so that we can discuss it with others, encourage each other, pray for each other, and realize that this is kind of normal. So I think a parallel happens that many youth end up walking away, but it's not something that you want to say, yeah, our kids walked away from their faith. You're not proud of it. Maybe you're a little bit embarrassed. And it can go unnoticed somewhat in the church, because you have youth groups, junior high, high school, and you got a number of kids coming, you know, each week, and they're generally having a good time, playing games, singing, doing some stuff, whatever. And then as they graduate and move out of the youth group, maybe go off to college, typically that's when they're going to walk away, is during the college years. Well, they're not at home so much anymore. They're not in the church because they're maybe going to school across the state or across the country. So when they walk away, the church doesn't notice, because someone has taken their place. Someone from grade school moved up into junior high, junior high moved up into high school. So you always have, you know, a pretty active group going on, a lot of energy, but most people don't track what's happening to them when they leave. And we'll cover a lot of these aspects during the show today. It's not that college is so bad. We'll find out that college is really more the time when the problems are exposed. It's not like everything is fine. They go up to college and college is evil and it messes them up. College is just the time when any troubles that were going on finally get exposed, and the parents are shocked, and we'll talk about those things as well. So that's why, even though this phenomena is true and it's happening, it goes largely unseen and unaddressed.
And being someone who is theologically reformed, I believe that those who truly and forever abandon the faith, or if they even abandon the faith for a considerable period of time, that would prove that they were never regenerate to begin with. But having said that, have you heard some of the reasons that youths have given for walking away from the faith that they were raised in?
Sure, there are a number of reasons, and sometimes it's hard to figure out what the true reasons are, because very often, and it's human nature, you're typically not going to have a youth say, yeah, I was raised in a Christian home, I went to church, you know, I had friends at church, and it was in youth group, and you know, everything was pretty good, and I really didn't have a problem with what was being taught. But then I just decided I really wanted to get more into drinking and drugs and living with my girlfriend and sleeping with her or whatever, and so I couldn't do that and hold on to the Christian faith, so I just decided to give up the Christian faith so I could live how I want. They're probably not going to be that transparent, even though that is often what is really happening. They're being drawn away by the world, which is tugging at all of us, and they do have that dilemma. What am I going to do? Because what I am partially doing or fully doing and certainly want to do would go start contrast against how I've been raised, and so what am I going to do? And often what happens is both happen for a long time, especially when they're still at home, junior high, high school. You get a lot of activities going on that aren't good, but they remain hidden because they know that they can't afford to expose those things, so they live with that tension. But eventually, you know, you can't do that forever. One's got to give away the other, and then when you go off to college, you're more out on your own. You're not under the umbrella of your parents' protection or purview. They're not really seeing what's going on. And at that point, many just decide that, you know, it's too strong of a pull. Everyone else is doing this, and then they will use the rationale of what they're hearing from their professors that, you know, Christianity is wrong. Science has disproven the Bible, disproven the creation account. There never was a flood. You know, Jesus wasn't the Son of God. There's a lot of different religions out there. There's different versions of the Bible. There's mission portions of the Bible. There's extra stuff that got put in there, and on and on and on and on and on. And for some youth, that's really troubling to them because they were believing all those things about the Bible, and now it seems like it's not true, and it does trouble them. But for many other youth, they're thinking, yeah, I knew it. Now they have a justification to do all the things they wanted to do anyway, and they have an academic reason for it. So when they go home and start talking to their parents, they pull up all these things about the errors and contradictions in the Bible and all the violence and the killing that was going on and all the violence and evil in the name of religion around the world and so many different religions, and God isn't going to send a good person to hell just because they didn't believe in Jesus, and science has disproven the creation account, the Big Bang's a fact, and evolution, and on and on and on and on. And many parents are just blown away by that. They are not ready with answers for that. And now their child walks off inside themselves feeling justified. I'm okay in going this direction because I've got real education now. The professors told me my parents didn't know what they were talking about. And I verified that because when I shared all the things that I've learned now, they had no response, and so I'm just going to walk off. And I believe if they are truly saved, they're going to be pretty uncomfortable in that lifestyle, being convicted by the Holy Spirit. I believe they eventually will come back in line. For those that were never there to begin with, they're probably just gone. They probably will never come to a saving faith. Some do. I mean, it's not hopeless. But it's probably going to be a little bit more challenging, and that gets into some other things we can share along the way of like what happened while they were at home in this Christian environment, which is a huge thing. So basically throughout the show, we're going to be talking about two elements. We'll be talking about apologetics and a defense of the Christian faith, which is a factor, but in my 35 years of experience now, I think it's a lot smaller factor than I was led to believe years ago. I think the bigger factor is what's going on at home and in their church for years and years and years before they walk away, and we'll get into all that.
Well, one of the reasons why I have become very much affirming of the classical Christian education model is that it provides, while the children are very young, it provides a preemptive strike, if you will. As Deputy Barney Fife used to say in the Andy, as he used to say in the Andy Griffith Show, "Gonna nip this in the bud."
Yeah, that's right.
And basically, the model of the classical Christian education is to present the arguments of the enemy in a classroom setting, along with the truth, to get children accustomed to hearing these arguments that the enemy uses to dismantle the faith, so that this is no surprise to them when they leave the shelter of their homes and of their churches, and when they are surrounded by unbelievers who are ready to either in a polished fashion because of who they've been reading, or perhaps from an articulate professor, hearing their faith dismantled in a convincing way to the less biblically literate person, or even in just an outright fraudulent or sloppy way, but whichever way the lies are hurled at the young Christian, the classical education at least has already prepared them to hear, and sometimes depending upon what school it is and what teachers are providing these classes, but they'll give the best of arguments so that these children will be, and when I say the best of arguments, I mean from the enemy, so that these children will be prepared to respond to them. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, it's totally, completely, and it's largely overlooked within the Christian household, and even in Christian settings, even in I think a number of Christian schools, and it can even be in homeschooling. And if you think about it, the best salespeople, just a secular sales job, the best salespeople are the salespeople who anticipate all the arguments. They're trying to sell something, and the person says, "Oh, that's too expensive. We don't have the money right now, or we already have one," or whatever argument. They already know every single argument that's going to come up, and they are very quick to say, "You know what, you think this is too expensive, but if you don't buy this, look at all the money you're going to spend on A, B, and C over the next year when you don't have this. You buy this now, yeah, you're going to spend $200 now, but you're going to save $800 over this year." And no matter what's brought up, they're just boom, 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 really quick to legitimately address those arguments. But many Christian parents, and youth included, are not prepared. So the students go off having maybe grown up in somewhat of a Christian bubble, and now they're off in college, and their professors not only have good arguments, good sounding arguments, but the professors are very intimidating and very condescending towards Christians. So many youth think, "I don't dare say anything because my professor just brought up all these things I know nothing about. I've never heard about them before. I'm embarrassed that I haven't." And I've even heard stories of kids who have grown up in homeschooling, which I think homeschooling can be great. Obviously, you can do any form of education a long way, but I think there were some instances where the homeschooling parents sheltered their kids so much when they went off to college, and in this case, they went off to a state university, and they were presenting evolution. These Christian youth had never heard about that before, and their peers were saying, "What do you mean you never heard about evolution before and evolving from apes? And like, what, are you living under a rock?" And these Christian students were so embarrassed, they ended up walking away from their faith. They were angry with their parents for not having told them about this idea that apparently everyone else believes, as opposed to, approach that I use with our kids. I told them, I said, "I want you guys to know more about evolution than anyone else around you. I want you to fully understand what is believed about it. And then I will also share with you the massive logical and scientific problems with the idea of evolution." So when they went into their classrooms, they went to a Christian school through eighth grade, and then they were in public schools or high school. When they had in the public high school and then in the state university biology classes that brought up evolution, they just had big smiles on their face because they're like, I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that. And they didn't act up condescendingly or disrespectful at all. But when the professor said something, they were able to raise their hand or say something and say, but what about this, and that? Nothing was a shock to them. So I think we do need to do a better job, not only teaching what Scripture says, but explaining what many of these other views are and what the problems, not just biblical problems with them, but also some of the science and logical fallacies that exist.
Now, what would you say would be some wise counsel for parents to change, improve what is going on in their homes to help prevent some of this apostasy that is going on? And now, obviously, we don't want to give the wrong impression on the other end of the spectrum that every home where children have abandoned the faith means the parents are at fault, that the home wasn't being conducted as a Christian home should be conducted, and the necessarily does not mean that the church where these children were raised is at fault either. You might have the best scenario that is humanly possible in a fallen world where these children have been raised and nurtured and taught and loved and still walk away, obviously, because the reprobate, unless they have some vested interest in masquerading as a Christian for their entire life, they're going to usually be repulsed and repelled by the truths of Scripture and eventually leave or manifest that they are not truly one of God's children. But even having said that, what counsel would you provide that perhaps parents are overlooking some things that should be going on in their own households?
Sure. There's a lot, and again, a lot of the program will be along these lines of answering that question, and I would also totally agree with you that just because someone walks away isn't a blight on the mom or dad. You know, it can be, and I know of homes where the dad is a pastor, and he did a wonderful job of shepherding his church, and he shepherded his family as well, and it is, you know, one or two children walked away, and there are the times where parents are doing almost nothing right, but the kids turn out very solid. So there's no formula that's a guarantee, but the parents can do things in a certain way that would make it a lot easier for their children to make the right decision, and they should be nurturing them. And so one of the issues is that in many Christian homes, and again, I never want to say all or, you know, almost all, but in too many Christian homes, a typical scenario is they go to church on Sunday morning. And a lot of churches don't even have Sunday school anymore. So if they go and they sing some songs, there's a sermon for half an hour or whatever, and then they go home. And that's kind of the end of it for the week. And then the week, Monday through Friday, is very busy. Dad's, you know, working 60, 65 hours a week, and mom's probably working somewhere too, and they're both trying to keep up with stuff at home and fix the car, and the kids are doing their thing, and they're kind of living separate lives. And then the weekend comes, and got projects to work on, so there's not a whole lot of family time spent together, and kids are with their friends. And then Sunday morning comes up again, and oh, church, yeah, we're Christians. They go to church, and the church might be a really nice church. And then they go home again, and that goes on month after month, year after year. Well, children in that environment aren't going to be very strong in their faith if that's really all they're getting is a 30-minute sermon on Sunday, and it's never really talked about at all the rest of the week. They're not doing any Bible studies or not reading together or praying a whole lot. And that's very common because we're just so busy. Now, within that, here's a specific scenario that can happen too often. Sunday morning comes up. Everyone's getting ready for church. Dad's walking down the hall, and he sees little Billy. He's still in bed, and he's like, you got to get out of bed. We got to leave in 8 minutes. We can't be late. And all of a sudden, there's all this tension, so little Billy rolls out of bed, and he gets ready really fast, and they're driving to church, and there's tension in the car because they're going to be late, maybe some screaming or name-calling, whatever. And as soon as they walk into the church, the parents are like, oh, hi, how are you? And they're all friendly, and their kids are rolling their eyes, saying, yeah, if you just saw my parents a couple minutes ago screaming at us. And then the kids go off to their Sunday school class, and it's, okay, they got friends there, and there's a sermon about whatever. And then they go into the church service afterwards, singing, and there's a sermon that they don't fully understand, but it's church, it's fine. And then they go home, and again, then from Sunday afternoon through the next Sunday, nothing's going on, you know, related to Christianity. They don't see it lived out in their parents' lives. Their parents are just busy. And then little Billy knows that when his room is a mess, his parents get really mad at him. And he's thinking, if they only knew that I was smoking pot once in a while, oh, my word, they'd go through the roof. So he learns to hide that. And there's this tension in his life now. And then he's going to hang out with his friends from the public school. And his parents say, oh, no. You got to hang out with kids from the youth group from church. And little Billy's thinking, my friends from the public school are actually pretty nice. In fact, it's my friends from the youth group who got me smoking pot. But he can't tell on his friends. You get in big trouble. So there's just all this tension back and forth. Then he eventually goes off to college. Here's all these reasons why the Bible's not true anyway. And he is so relieved to get out from under all that tension and all that guilt and in the double lifestyle. And so those are the types of things that can very easily lead to them walking away. So what parents can should be doing is making sure that their own lives are in order, that they're really living out the Christian life, you know, throughout the week, showing it to their children. Their children should see them praying and reading their Bibles and maybe having some kind of a form of a family devotional, you know, throughout the week, so it's consistent in their lives. So their children learn what Christianity is really about, how much they really rely on God and Scripture itself, and reading Scripture and memorizing it. That's going to make a huge difference. It's not a magic formula, but that is, I think, missing in way, way too many Christian households.
And we have to go to our first break right now. And again, if anybody wants to join us with your own question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Jay Seeger after these messages from our sponsors.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at the Toronto Baptist Seminary, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jeff Downs of Knox Reformed Presbyterian Church in Mechanicsville, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mark Grimaldi of Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Scott Pasolo of the Master's Church of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kevin Vigneault of the Bible Church of Port Washington, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church in St. Augustine, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Clint Leiter of Highway M Chapel, Sedalia, Missouri, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in his holy word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and his doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and our guest today is Jay Siegert, the founder of the Starting Point Project. Today we are addressing a very important theme: why many youths abandon the Christian faith, and how should the church respond? If you have a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. You may remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And we do have an anonymous listener who says, is a part of the reason, in your opinion, that many youths grow up to view Christianity as being nothing but a compilation and congregation of a bunch of hypocrites is because they see in the private lives of their homes that the love of Christ is not genuinely there, and a outstretched arm to be ready to forgive even serious sins. For instance, I know that there are many parents who would be so appalled and so embarrassed in front of their own congregations and pastors and even the outside world if their daughter were to be pregnant out of wedlock or something like that, that they might be even much more harsh and unchristlike than someone who does not really have the true scriptures to guide them. This is just something that I have come to witness in my own personal life, and I was wondering what your thoughts might be.
Well, that is certainly a very valid point, and that's one of the biggest arguments that skeptics bring up about Christianity or church in the sense in general is the hypocrisy. Well, we could talk about hypocrisy in every corner of the planet, in every belief system, every human being. It's part of our fallen human nature. I used to jokingly say that I don't struggle at all with being a hypocrite. It's the easiest thing I do. And the point is, it's not hard to be a hypocrite, to have a set of beliefs, but then to at least occasionally do things that would be contrary to that. And I think it's very, very unfortunate that within the body of Christ that you have Christians, especially parents, reacting really harshly towards their children when their children mess up, because we all mess up. I think my experience has been in my own life, and I've seen in others, the harsher I might be towards someone else in something they said or did is sometimes a red flag about my own thinking and judging them on the wrong basis rather than saying we're all fallen human beings in need of forgiveness from Christ. We tend to say, well, that person's, I'm not as bad as them because I don't do A, B, and C. Well, maybe you don't do A, B, and C, but you do X, Y, and Z, which in God's mind, sin is sin. There are different earthly consequences. You know, if you are just kind of bitter internally towards someone, that's a different human consequence than if you murdered someone. They are both sins. But they're violating God's standards, and that person is right to bring that up, that often in the church, the parents can be overly harsh with their children for a particular sin, shortcoming or whatever, and it brings embarrassment to the child. It makes them work even harder at hiding those things because they're afraid of how their parents will react, where in reality, we should handle these things privately when we can and when they're appropriate, showing God's grace, encouraging them to not make the mistake again, saying, you know what, you did A, B, or C, and that can't be changed, but you can change what you do going forward. Are you repentant and want to change, or are you going to double down and try to justify what you did? And in a proper Christian household, there should be lots of grace because God has been extremely gracious with us, so why wouldn't we forward that on, especially to our own children, so that they can become even stronger in their faith and then be better positioned to help someone else in the future who falls, you know, in the same way. They can say, hey, I made the same mistake, but this is how I got through it. I had encouraging parents who loved me through it. They didn't just brush it off like it was nothing, but they still loved me, because nothing we would ever do in the rest of our lives, and no amount of maturing in our Christian faith will ever make God love us more than he loves us right now. He loves us with an infinite love. Nothing we do as far as messing up will make God love us less than he loves us right now. It is an infinite love. Our actions can affect our daily relationship with him, but it's not going to affect he loves us. And I think I grew up in somewhat of an environment of performance-based somewhat on some teaching that I had, but I just felt like when I was working really hard and doing good, God was smiling and proud of me. And when I messed up, he was just gritting his teeth and his fist. He was like, oh, how could you do that? And he was like so mad at me. And it's not so much that. It's just God disciplines us because of how much he loves us, and he hates to see us go down the same path too far. And so he will step in and discipline. And we as parents should be mimicking what God does for us. And so parents should have an appropriate amount of discipline, but not shame and embarrassment and judgment like their children aren't nearly as good as they are as parents. So that can be a reason that some youth walk away because of seeing that too often in the church and maybe being afraid for their own situation of that eventually happening. So why not walk away and avoid the whole thing to begin with?
I just saw a movie on television called Apostasy, about a Jehovah's Witness single mother of teenage daughters. And this was in the UK. And one of the daughters went off to college and she got pregnant. And I'm assuming that this is an accurate portrayal of Jehovah's Witnesses. In fact, even in the credits at the end, they were talking about how they documented even sermons that were lectures, whatever they would call them, in a Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Hall, that they actually took them from real sermons and so on. But they take 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, and even apply that to the children in a family. We read in that chapter and verse, "But actually I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is a sexually immoral person or a greedy person or an idolater or is verbally abusive or habitually drunk or a swindler, not even to eat with such a person." So in this depiction of this family in this movie, Apostasy, when the Jehovah's Witness mother did visit on occasion her daughter, who was living on her own at this point, just to take care of the bare necessities and to repeatedly plea that the girl returns to the faith, she had to keep the cordiality and the contact to a minimum, and when she prepared a meal for her pregnant daughter, she actually went into the kitchen, the mother went into the kitchen and ate by herself, so as to not eat with such a person. Now, is that instruction even for those within the household of a Christian family? And it becomes a sensitive issue that I'm sure that all pastors, even those that are very biblically literate, and may even agree on many things theologically and doctrinally, they may disagree on how to treat rebellious children within a home, and of course even the circumstances may make each case different than another one. For instance, you know, if a child agrees to not have sexual relations outside of marriage, of course, under the roof, that they should perhaps be permitted to remain there, but all kinds of things may come up. What if the situation involves a homosexual, homosexual activity, and, you know, on and on we could go. How much does this, in your opinion, this text apply to the actual household when you're talking about parents and children?
Yeah, well, I think it's, again, an interesting point. It's a very practical point that, you know, when you think about it, just stepping back for a second, when specific situations like this arise that we're talking about right now, when they don't get addressed in general, there are problems. Then how are you going to deal with it? If it does happen, all of a sudden you got to step back and say, well, what are we going to do? It takes you by surprise rather than thinking, well, no, we knew that if something like this were to occur, this is how we should respond biblically. But a lot of Christian households haven't thought through it. And again, too many there's a lot of biblical illiteracy where the parents really don't know what are they supposed to do. So they read some commentary or some article that someone wrote, and they might quote that passage that you quoted and get the impression like, nope, we need to eat dinner in a different room from our son or our daughter or whatever, take it out of context and really wreak havoc. And they're really not acting biblically. And again, it's not an exact black and white situation because there's certainly going to be unknowns and some gray areas. But in most cases, the son or daughter messed up and they know it and they're still struggling, but they want to improve. They want to grow. They're repentant. They want to mature in their faith. That's a very different situation than someone who did something and says, I can do whatever I want. I'm going to continue to do it. That's where you need to pray and say, okay, how much separation do we have? And if you're, let's say your child is 18 or whatever, it might be so extreme that you have to kind of, you know, set some tough boundaries down to say, you know what, we love you. We will not stop loving you, but because you are not repentant and you are basically telling us you're going to continue this behavior, we cannot be tolerant of that within this household. This is, you know, we're responsible before God for what goes on here. You are our child. We are responsible for telling you right and wrong. You have your own choices to make, and God is allowing you to make those choices for the most part, but God gets to choose the consequences. And so we are going to have some tough love here and just say, if that is your stance, you're going to continue to, you know, be active sexually with your boyfriend, your girlfriend or whatever, or take drugs or whatever it might be, we are going to ask you to then move out on your own because we cannot have that under this household. But again, the other case is they're struggling. They want to get help. They're not quite sure how. You need to be extremely loving and just say, we are here for you. We want to help. We know you're not perfect, but we know you want to improve. We will get you help, and you are loved here, and you are accepted in this household because we know that you want to mature in your faith. That's a totally different situation. One reaction is kicking them out right away. Obviously, it's going to push them away from you relationally, and we have absolutely no influence on them anymore. If the case is extreme enough, you have to pray about it. In each case, you know, the Holy Spirit will let you know what action you need to take. But even if you tell them they need to leave, that needs to be done in love. You shouldn't be screaming at them as you're telling them to get out. You should just be saying, we have to obey God. It just reminds me of a situation I had with my son when he was in grade school.
In fact, if you could pick up on that story when we come back, because we have to go to our midway break right now.
Sure.
Just don't forget the story.
I won't.
And if anybody wants to join us, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And this is our longer than normal break, so please be patient with us. Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because they are required by the FCC to air their own public service announcements and other localized things that localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida. And while they do that, we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information for as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them. Even sometimes that means just reaching out to them to thank them for sponsoring this show. But also use this time to send in a question to Jay Siegert at chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say, you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything, so we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
Chris Arns and host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Are you a Christian looking to align your faith and finances? Then you'll want to check out Thrivent Financial. We're not your typical financial services provider. We're a not-for-profit Fortune 500 organization that helps our nearly 2.4 million members be wise with money. We provide guidance that reflects your values so you can protect what matters most. We help members live generously and strengthen the communities where they live, work, and worship. Learn more about the Thrivent story by contacting me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And I have, right in my hands, for the very first time, from the Historical Bible Society, the beautiful booklet that I mentioned, I believe, yesterday and perhaps even last week. This is a 44-page book produced by the Historical Bible Society that they are giving away to those that send in a check for a minimum of $35 to the Historical Bible Society. It's called The Genealogies, and it is the family tree of Jesus, as it were, and it is taken directly, this artwork, 44 pages of artwork, on, I believe, I'm going to have to measure this, but I believe this is 8.5 by 11, so it's quite large, but it's taken directly, these prints are taken directly from the first edition King James Bible, first edition 1611 King James Bible, that is among their vast collection of rare and precious and valuable Bibles and books of history. And as I said, if you donate to the Historical Bible Society a minimum of $35, you will get this beautiful 44-page genealogy of Jesus. And it looks like parchment paper. It's taken directly from, as I said, the prints are taken directly from first edition King James Bible, 1611. And if you go to historicalbiblesociety.org, historicalbiblesociety.org, you can find out more about how you could get your own copy of the Genealogies of Jesus. And that's a minimum donation of $35. So I hope that you take advantage of that, and please let the Historical Bible Society know that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. They just renewed their advertising contract with us, so please make sure that if you are able to send them the donation and to get your free genealogies book, 44-page book, please make sure that you do that so that you will further ensure that the Historical Bible Society will continue to sponsor this program. Before we return to our guest, Jay Siegert, we just have a couple of announcements to make. First of all, if you love this show and you do not want it to disappear, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing that. And if you prefer snail mail, if you prefer sending in a check the old-fashioned way, well, an address will appear on your screen when you click support at iontrepensionradio.com, where you can make those checks, where you can send those checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, if you'd like to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. We are in urgent need of your finances, folks. If you want this program to remain on the air, please, we're asking you more than ever before to donate to us. We have been hit very hard financially during the coronavirus pandemic hysteria because many in our audience who were faithfully giving or purchasing advertising have had to cut back or cut out altogether Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And it has really hurt us very badly. So if you do love this show and you want us to exist, go to IronTripAndZionRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And as I try to remember to remind you every day, please don't siphon money away from your regular giving that you're accustomed to your own local church in order to give to Iron Trip and Zion Radio. Don't punish your church financially, in other words, to bless us financially. Also, don't put your family in further financial peril and jeopardy if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet. Those two things are commands of Scripture, to provide for your church and to provide for your family. And while providing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is not a command of Scripture, obviously, if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, providing for church and family, then please, if you love the show, help us. Go to IronSharpensIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now, and give frequently and generously. I can't urge you strongly enough the need that we have if we are to remain on the air. We thank all of you who have been giving, some of you very faithful givers all the way back to the inception of this program in 2005. Some of you are very new givers. No matter who you are, we love you and we thank God for you. And we just ask of you, especially if you have never given before but you love the show, please help us. Go to IronSharpensIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, we have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the planet Earth. We may be able to help you find a church that's very near where you live, no matter where on the globe you live. I've helped people find churches on occasion that were within minutes of their own home that they didn't even know existed in all parts of the world, and or that they didn't even know were biblically faithful churches. They may have passed these churches every day and have not even been aware that they were biblically sound. So I do have these lists, and there may be a church near you. You never know. So please, if that is your case, or if you want to help somebody else find a church, or if you want to visit a good church while you're on vacation, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Jay Siegert. And today, Jay's topic is why many youths abandon the Christian faith and how should the church respond. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com. And Jay, you are just about to launch into a story, I believe, about one of your children.
Yeah, my son. We were talking about you know, discipline within the home. You know, it can be too harsh. It can drive some away. Not only the children are being harshly treated, but even others outside of the home, outside of the church, can look upon that as, oh, that's what Christianity is, and it's just so cruel and whatever. So we were talking about what's appropriate and what's not, and I just had thought of one example off the top of my head. When my son was in grade school, he had done something at home which was, I don't even remember what it was. It was very minor, but it necessitated me talking with him and giving him some kind of discipline, and so I told him to go into his room, and I came in about a minute later, and I always made sure that myself, I was calmed down in case I was upset. In this case, I wasn't, but we want to make sure as parents that we discipline out of what God tells us to do and not out of our own disturbed nature, because sometimes our kids do something and it becomes an inconvenience for us. Now we're going to be late to the movie, now, and we get all upset about that and discipline them out of anger rather than on what is actually right and wrong. And so when I went into my son's room on this occasion, he was sitting on his bed and he was, you know, teary-eyed. He already felt bad about whatever it was that he had done, which again was fairly minor. But I sat there, and I always talked to him very calmly. And but I remember on that day, I looked at him and I said, "Do you have any idea who I am?" And he did not know how to respond to that, and I did not expect him to know how to respond because I don't talk to him that way. So he just kind of looked at me, not knowing what to do, and then I started smiling and I said, "I am you, just a little older." I said, "We're basically the same. I've just had a few more years, and I'm a grown-up now." And I said, "But I'm like you. I mess up when I was your age and messed up the same ways that you do, and I still mess up today." And I wanted him to know that I'm also a human being, and we need to show that humility with our kids in order to have more transparency from them and have a better relationship. And I remember another time, I got another portion of the story to finish in a second, but another time I had gone into his room and I said, "You know what? What you did a little while ago was wrong, but I'm not here to talk to you about that right now because you already know that. I'm here to apologize to you because I think that I responded a little too harshly. And you know why? Because I was in a tense mood from some other things that were going on, and I kind of took it out on you. I hadn't even yelled at him or anything, but it was more than I probably should have, and I realized later I was just tense and upset about something totally unrelated to him. And so I said, "Would you please forgive me?" And he said, "Yes," and I walked out. I wasn't there to say, "Well, and by the way, what you did was wrong, and you need this to do this and that." I didn't apologize, and so it was. But on this first occasion that I brought up, when I went into discipline, and I said, "You know what? I said, I don't really like disciplining you. I like to get along. I want you to be happy with me. But you know what? If I don't discipline you for what you did that was wrong, now God's going to discipline me because the Bible tells me I need to discipline my children when they do something wrong. So if I don't discipline you, now I'm sinning and I'm going to get in trouble." And he kind of smiled and we talked through it. And so I think we really need to make sure that our discipline is very biblically based and that our children need to understand they are being disciplined based on standards that God set up in His Word and not just mom and dad are hacked off now, so boy, are they going to get it. It always needs to go back to what happened, how was it a violation of what God wants us to do, and to talk about it very graciously and not be overly harsh and offer opportunities for forgiveness and things like that. So that really should be the way discipline happens. But too often we as parents get into the emotion of the moment and we react because we are personally upset because it's going to mess with our schedule, our agenda, and that doesn't lead to anything good. It drives our kids away, not only from us, but away from the Bible, because that's what they think Christianity is all about, is just rules, rules, rules. You break the rules, you are in big trouble, and mom and dad are going to be so angry with you, rather than saying, "Hey, we want to help you through this. Yeah, you messed up, but we're here to help you and offer forgiveness, and we still love you, still care about you." So that's a stark contrast from how a lot of discipline happens in many Christian households, which is not healthy for the children and isn't going to help them later in life too, whether they had to make these harder decisions or whether they're going to walk away or not.
We have another anonymous listener who says, when it comes to young black men leaving the church, I have discovered in having conversations with those that have become members of the Nation of Islam or even more traditional Muslim religions, that they found the church too matriarchal, too feminine, and had no truly strong male role models. They found what they saw as a masculine haven in these false religions. And it just happens to be a fact that many churches in the black church experience at large are very matriarchal, and the numbers of members who are women typically dwarf those that are men in numbers. And I was wondering if, in such cases, if a person happens to be a member of the church where there are few male members and perhaps no strong male leaders in the home, that more effort needs to be done on the part of the mothers of these children and perhaps church members to make sure that men in the church that are godly and faithful and good role models are very much involved actively in the lives of these children, even if they are not from our own family.
That's absolutely huge. That observation is just astounding, because God has created us with a certain order and a hierarchy, not of importance or value, but just this is the way he has planned. He's designed us in a certain way. He designed men to be head of the households and to be ultimately responsible, which you could look at it wrong and just say, why does he get to lead the household? I kind of look at it as an extra burden, like, oh my word, I'm responsible for everything. So if things go wrong here, it's ultimately my responsibility because I'm leading this household. And so God has set up a certain order of male and female, husband and wife, mother and father, which now in Congress they're trying to get rid of, using the name mother, father, husband, wife, brother, sister, which is just, it's just, I guess it shouldn't shock us anymore, but that's the way God has set this up. And so, boys in general are geared, they are created in God's image, and they are meant to develop into these leaders. Well, what are they supposed to do when they don't see those role models? They don't have it in their own life. Instinctively, they're going to look for that, and that's sometimes why youth join gangs. They're looking for leadership that's lacking in the home. And I think in many Christian churches, men have dropped the ball drastically, and there is a void there. Well, guess what? Some women have some skills where they could lead something, they could teach something. It's not that they don't have any of those skills, it's that they're not supposed to have to be the key leaders in the church, but they will often very sincerely step into that void, and they're doing it very sincerely, but that wasn't God's intention, and it's I think the male leadership's fault for allowing that to happen too often, and the church becomes kind of weak there. And so, like this caller mentioned, even black youth are going into Islam because they're seeing that strong male leadership. Now, the leadership there are not based on biblical principles, unfortunately, but they're leaning towards something that God has designed for them. They're just fulfilling it in the wrong way. But in a sense, we can't be surprised because, again, the church has dropped the ball in what they're to be doing, and the church spends too much time tickling people's ears rather than teaching Scripture.
Well, I'd like you to go through some more of your own ideas on how to remedy this situation. I don't want to take too many more listener questions before we run out of time. So if you could spend some time just going through some principles that you definitely wanted to have stated today.
Sure. What's interesting is I've been speaking on apologetics topics for 35 years now, full-time for 14 plus, but 35 total. I started when I was in my latter year of college and went from there, and then eventually moved into it full-time 14, 15 years ago. But I deal with youth walking away from their faith. That's one of the biggest parts of our ministry, is dealing with that. But what's interesting is not until just a few years ago, again, I've been dealing with this for 35 years, but not until just a few years ago, it was the first time ever I asked myself, hey, how come I didn't walk away when I was in college? Because I was challenged by my professors. They were telling me I was wrong about everything that I believed. And again, I was studying physics and engineering. And so to have PhD physicists tell you that, you know, you don't know what you're talking about, you're wrong, that was disturbing to me, because I realized that I knew what I believed, but I didn't know why. I could not defend the Christian worldview. So for the first time, just a few years ago, I said, hey, how come when I had the same challenges that youth are having today, how come I didn't walk away? It took me, I'd say, maybe a half a second to figure out the answer. And the answer was my relationship with my parents. It had nothing to do with my academic education or my level of intelligence or anything. It was totally my relationship with my parents. So at that point in my life, growing up in a Christian home, believing in the Bible, and trusted in Christ as my Savior, going to a solid Bible-believing church, I went to a Christian college for engineering, and then I went to the State University for physics. So at the State University, when I was being challenged and I realized I can't defend my belief system, I didn't for one second think that maybe I'm wrong. I thought very logically, I thought, I know I'm not wrong because I don't think my parents are wrong. I don't think they would lie to me. I don't think my pastor is wrong or would lie to me. So if I'm not wrong, that means I'm right. If I'm right, that means there has to be evidence. If there's evidence, I'm going to find it. And so I just set out crazy to find evidence, and God brought it to me, and I was like a sponge. I could not get enough, and I was excited to find this, and I wanted it because I enjoyed the Christian worldview. I saw it lived out in my parents' life, where too many youth don't have that background. They haven't really seen it lived out. There's so much tension. There's contradictions. There's hypocrisy. There's moral tension in their own life of things they want to do, but they feel they probably shouldn't. And all this is going on. So when they get challenged, they're not going to say, hey, I'm going to drop everything and find evidence for the Christian faith. They're going to say, great, now I have an academic excuse to do whatever I want to do. And so I think it's, again, very important for parents to be having a really good relationship with their kids, active, talking about things, having conversations, letting their children ask any question they want, and being humble and saying, you know what, that is a good question. To be honest, I don't know the answer, but you know what, I probably should know that, so let me look into that and get back to you. Thank you for bringing that up. There's too many parents, there's too much pride, and they don't want their kids to realize they don't have answers. So the kids come home from high school or college and just say, hey, my professor said the Big Bang's an absolute fact, the Bible's just a joke, and that evolution's been absolutely proven, and there never was a flood, and Jesus isn't the Son of God, and the air is in the Bible, and all that. Again, most parents don't have answers. Instead of saying, you know what, those are great questions, and we should probably know those things by now, they start making stuff up, and they'll say, well, you just need to trust Jesus, and you need to go to church because it's the right thing, and that's what we do, and don't worry about those other things. Well, that's a terrible answer, and it doesn't make any sense to the child, but they kind of put up with it while they're living at home, because what else are they going to do? They're 10 years old, they're 15 or 18 or whatever. They kind of have to do it, so they bury their head in the sand for a while, but eventually they go off to college, or they go further into college, and they realize, I can decide anything I want. I can believe whatever I want. And now I'm in college, and I'm learning real truth, and I know what I was told that was true growing up, but what do I really believe? And they tend to walk away. But if they have a really good relationship with their parents, they don't want to walk away from their own family situation. They want to be able to go to their parents and say, man, this stuff has really blown me away. Help me. And the parents should say, yeah, let's dive into this. We don't know all of this, but let's look into it. But most parents are just so busy, they don't have time, and they don't want to be exposed as to not really knowing Scripture the way they probably should at that point in their life. So and you may have messed up as a parent, we all do, but you can always start now and just say, you know what, going forward this year, I'm going to know much more about the basics of the Christian faith. How do we know that God exists? How do we know He created everything? How do we know the Bible is the inspired word of God? How do we know that Jesus is the Son of God? You know, those basic questions, if you don't know answers to that, start there and then build from that platform.
We have Harrison, Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, who says, in conversations I have had with many Christians, I think that they are coming to the wrong conclusions in response to the problem of which you speak. They think that church needs more programs, more youth activities that are separate from congregational life and other things. But I disagree. First of all, those aren't things that are commanded in Scripture, so they can't be essential. But also, many times I have heard and even witnessed that these subcategories of life outside of the regular mixed body of Christ, where adults and children are together, these children's or youth groups tend to become churches of their own and very often have deficient messages that they are teaching the children. Sometimes they're basically just being used as glorified babysitters. What is your response to my thoughts here?
Well, I can't disagree with that. I think that is very true. Again, not of every church and every situation, but I think it does do a disservice when we have churches set up where we separate everyone, and too many youth programs are focused on entertaining these kids. They want to have fun. If they're not having fun, they're not going to come. And you want to have a vibrant youth group and be proud of your group and what you do. So you do a lot of games and fun things here and there, and invite your friends. And yeah, you'll read some Bible verses or talk about being kind or getting through struggles at school and do some topical things. But they're really not diving deep into God's Word. And I would say, you know, if you don't think studying God's Word is fun, that's okay. We're not saying, hey, let's have fun. What can we do? I know, let's read God's Word. We are trying to learn truth about our Creator to find out why is it that we're here and what does He want us to be doing. And we know along the way that means going to school for a while, early part of your life, getting a job, probably getting married and having children. What does God teach us about those things and how to best approach those things? That's going to be in God's Word. So that's what we're going to study as a youth group. And you guys right now are 7th, 8th, 9th grade, 10th, whatever your age is. This is what you should know about the Christian worldview and about Scripture at this point in your life, because these are the things that are coming at you at that point in your life. So we're going to be going to God's Word to help you with those things. And if you don't think it's fun, that's okay, but you need to learn these things rather than like, okay, you're right, it's not that fun, so we'll do more videos and games. And I think, again, the church does a disservice when they focus that way. And I fortunately go to a very, very strong church where the youth program is absolutely amazing, and they go through Scripture. So each youth, if they're going to do the whole program through junior high through high school, they're going to go through the whole Bible a number of times and learn a lot of practical things about Scripture and memorization, so that they're going to be much better positioned for the rest of their life versus like they were babysat and entertained while their parents were in the church service or whatever. So I think it's a very valid point, and again, another area that some churches have dropped the ball.
We have Bibi in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who says, do you think that very often legalism in a home and church are the reasons for the flight of children away from Christianity? And I have to be careful about how I phrase or define my terms, because there are people who have an unbiblical Christianity or even a liberal Christianity, which is no Christianity at all in reality, who will label many things that are actual, truly commands of Scripture as legalism. But I'm not speaking of that. I'm talking about the heavy-handed, overbearing type of life that some children have in their homes and within their churches, where rules are the inventions of men that restrict and choke the life out of many children, so that as soon as they are able, they flee and run as far away and as fast as they can run.
Again, another valid point. I think legalism, it is tough to define it for a broad audience, but I think legalism can do potentially more damage than any good, because it focuses too much on the rules themselves rather than the relationship. And I think Joshua Powell years ago said the rules without relationship leads to rebellion. And I think legalism feeds into that when the parents focus so much on the rule itself rather than the intent behind the rule, and then tying the rule into Scripture, saying, okay, yeah, we believe this really is a rule here, but let me show you in Scripture why we've come to the conclusion that this really should be a rule. Here's why. This is what it does for us. This is actually a protection it provides for us as Christians, and we want to help you with this one, even though this particular one, whatever it is not easy. Because there's a lot of stuff that I would love to do, but I know I'm not supposed to, but yeah, it's in there, so I need help with it. So the legalism just kind of blows right through the purpose of the rule and any kind of a relationship, and it's just like, you know what, you are my son or my daughter, and I love you if you perform. When you don't, I'm pretty hacked off. When you do, yeah, you're okay and I'm proud of you. And you live your whole life in like servitude and just in a bad way and so paranoid about messing up, or is God happy with you today? Is he not? Are your parents happy? Are they not? Versus knowing that Christ has done everything for you. You can't add anything to it, so you're never going to do a particular work that's going to make God so happy. Now he's proud of you, and then later he's not. He's kind of disgusted. He doesn't want to look at you. Versus, you know what? Christ has done everything, and it actually frees me up. It takes me out of being a slave, and I want to do those good things now. I want to follow those rules in thanksgiving to him. And I can't really do them on my own, but that's why I have the Holy Spirit to help me do those things that are really difficult. But you're doing them because you're excited about it versus, boy, if I don't do this, I'm going to get slapped, you know. And it's a totally different mindset. And when you live under the hammer of legalism, you are focused on yourself the whole time. How am I doing? What am I doing? Do I think it's good enough or not? Versus, I got really nothing to add to this right now. It's all Christ. I'm going to focus on him the whole. It frees me up to be able to focus on him rather than focusing on myself and my works the whole time.
Well, we are going to our final break. It's going to be a much shorter break than the last breaks. So if you have a question you'd like to ask of Jay Siegert, please send it in as quickly as possible because we are rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of Jay Siegert after these messages.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit, Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity.
And besides that, they feel so good.
I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Brandon Scalf of Cruciform Bible Church in Indianapolis, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chris Hatton of Grace Chapel in Sanford, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Jack Wilkie, minister of the Forney Church of Christ in Forney, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mike Wachowski of Westminster Chapel in Ball Ground, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Cooley of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brock Evans from Wading River Baptist Church in Wading River, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Lasser of Crestview Baptist Church in Big Spring, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, do as much of your gift giving by making your first stop at solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, a vital, a premier, a primary, a necessary financial supporter of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We would likely not exist without their continued advertising. And always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio at solid-ground-books.com. And Jay Seeger, you have about 5 minutes of uninterrupted time now to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today about the youth that are walking away from faith.
Well, yeah, there's so much that we could say, but it comes down to God's Word. I mean, it's so important. We know nothing about Christianity other than what God tells us in His Word. So it starts at home with the parents. Yes, you know, for the time we have left, yes, churches can help, and good pastors do help tremendously, but it is the parents' responsibility. God does not say, "Hey, parents, if you get a chance sometime, maybe talk to your kids about the Christian worldview and God's word and why we know it's true and what difference it makes and how we live it out. Oh, he commands us to be talking with our children and mentoring them, especially Deuteronomy chapter 6. You're supposed to teach our children diligently. Go to them when you sit down in the house and walking by the way, when they lie down and all these things. It doesn't say sit them down and give them a lecture. Been there, done that. It doesn't work. I'm a lecturer. I travel around full time and give lectures and talks. And I just thought, okay, if I do family devotionals, I'll just give another lecture. And it was not effective. It was like pulling teeth. It never went well. And then I realized the much better way is to not once or twice a week sit down for a lecture, but just every day share life with your kids in particular and just say, hey, you know, how was school today? What happened? What do you think about that? You know, is that a good or a bad thing? What do you think God's word has to say? You do that on a regular basis, week after week, month after month, year after year. Your children will be growing in the faith, and they'll see that everything is always turned back to Scripture. What does God say about that? It's not about whatever rules we're making up as we go. It's what does God say about whatever particular subject is being brought up. And too often, parents will blame the school system. And in one of the talks that I give in churches, when I kind of set up, you know, how things are kind of going south and what's being taught in schools, I say, you know why our kids are walking away from their faith? It's because every single teacher in the public school system and every single professor at the state university, they're evil, rotten, nasty liars. And the looks I get from the congregation is amazing. And then I start to smile and I laugh and I say, I don't mean that at all. I think the majority of teachers in the public school system, even professors at universities, are very nice people. Most of them are pretty good teachers. Obviously, there are exceptions, but most of them are very sincere people. They are not trying to lie to our kids. Unfortunately, a lot of what they teach is not true, but they don't even know it. They're just teaching the only thing they've ever heard because they went to the public school system and then they went to college and they said, I love my biology teacher. I want to be a biology teacher. So they get a degree in teaching. They go back to the high school and they teach the same thing they learned. A lot of it's not true, but they don't even know that. And so then we blame the teachers and the professors. Oh, they're ruining our kids and our kids are walking away. And then after I say that, then I say, you know whose fault it is? It's your pastor's fault. And then everyone laughs and I say, because your kids get messed up, so you bring them to church and he's supposed to fix them, right? And then they go home and they get messed up a little bit again, so you got to bring them back the next week for another booster shot. And I say, no, it's not your pastor's fault. I said, it is largely our responsibility as parents to be mentoring our children. Our children are gifts from God. They're in our care for a short period of time. How are we going to make best use of that time? Because they're going to go off on their own and they have to make their own decisions. We want to set them up for success. We want to teach them as much of God's word as we can because that's what's going to move them forward, not just remembering rules they grew up with, but understanding God's word. That's what they're responsible for knowing. But you can't give your kids or your grandchildren something you don't have. If you're not quite sure why you believe what you believe, why should anyone else believe it? If you're just choosing it because it seems to work and you like it, great. But then why should your children believe it? If you're just, that's just kind of what you chose, why couldn't they just choose something they like if it works better for them? We should be giving them, you know, answers. 1 Peter 3:15, be ready always to give answers for the reason for the hope that we have. Do this with meekness and fear, gentleness and respect. We need to be having answers for why we believe in God, why we believe that the Bible is God's word, why we believe Jesus Christ is the only way. Set that foundation so that our kids are set up for success in the future.
Well, I want to make sure, Jay, that if a listener wants to invite you to their church or their school to have you give a presentation there, or they want to get in contact with you for any other reason, that they have that information. First of all, the website is thestartingpointproject.com, thestartingpointproject.com. Any other contact information you care to share?
Our website should give them everything they need. We don't charge anything for our engagements. We do ask that travel expenses be covered, but, you know, churches, conferences, schools, whatever. We just get honorariums generally, but there's no charge. We just ask that they cover expenses to get wherever it is that I'm going. I'm based out of Wisconsin, but I travel all over the country and around the world. So if they want something in their church, it could be a Sunday morning service, it could be a weekend seminar, it could be something in the school system. Again, there's no charge, but it's all very biblically based and all very, very encouraging messages and uplifting. I'm not there to condemn people to say you messed up. I want to help people wherever they are and help them improve so that God can use them to the full extent that He intended.
Great. Well, once again, that's thestartingpointproject.com. I want to thank you so much for being an excellent guest again, Jay. I want to thank everybody who listened, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.